The following sermon was delivered by Senior Pastor Scott Black Johnston during morning worship at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with our vibrant community of faith every Sunday on the corner of Fifth Avenue and 55th Street in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And now, here is Dr. Black Johnston.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What happens when people come face to face with God? What does it look like when the drama of human life rubs up against the sacred? Sometimes the good book answers this question with a panoramic vista, a big screen. The theater of the divine can look like a flood that covers the earth. It can look like escaped slaves fleeing pursuing chariots. It can look like manna raining down on hungry people in the desert. But sometimes the stage where sacred drama plays out is small, intimate. It's a blind man asking for a bowl of stew. It's two brothers vying for their father's blessing. It's a one-act play in a bedroom. Let us listen now for God's word as it echoes to us from Genesis. Chapter 27, beginning with the first verse. This is a long one, so settle in. When Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "See, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then prepare for me savory food such as I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me savory food to eat, that I may bless you before the Lord before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and get me two choice kids, so that I may prepare from them savory food for your father, such as he likes. And you shall take it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to his mother, Rebekah, "Look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man of smooth skin. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my word and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the savory food and the bread that she had prepared to her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game so that you may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, How is it that you found it so quickly, my son? He answered, Because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, Come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went up to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, Are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Then he said, Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, Come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau came in from his hunting. He also prepared savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, Let my father sit up and eat of his son's game so that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, Who are you? He answered, I'm your firstborn son, Esau. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? And yes, blessed he shall be. When Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me also, father. But he said, Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and look, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me? This is the word of God for you, the people of God. So Esau and Jacob had issues. Fraternal twins, they emerged from their mother's womb in conflict. A red-headed yowler, Esau, arrived in the world first. His brother Jacob, though, wasn't far behind. He was born, Genesis tells us, with his fingers wrapped around Esau's heel. In fact, Jacob's name, roughly translated, means he grasps the heel. I can imagine the boy's parents peeking over the edge of the crib, smiling and joking. That one there, he's a grabber. They had no idea. As a youth, Jacob kept his eye on the prize that eluded him at birth. One day, as his famished brother was returning from a hunt, Jacob offered to give Esau a bowl of lentils in exchange for his birthright, his right to lead the family one day. Esau evidently saw more value in this hearty lunch, and perhaps in his own freedom, than in shouldering the responsibility for a whole tribe of people. "Sure," he said to his brother, "it's all yours. These are good lentils." Those lentils became a family story, the sort of story that makes a child wince when a parent tells it, the sort of story that's got a barb in there. "Esau, buddy, you're not the sharpest tool in the drawer. You'd better watch out. That brother of yours, he's a grabber." As they grew, Esau, ever the rough to Jacob's smooth, became a proficient hunter, a bearded man at home in buffalo plaid. He was his father's favorite. Jacob, on the other hand, hung around the tents. He learned the ways of human community, the levers of politics, the art of the deal. He was his mother's favorite. The years go by. Esau becomes an Eagle Scout and starts dating women from a neighboring tribe. Jacob gets really good at chess and knows which fork to use for the salad course. The boy's parents age. Eventually, sensing that his days were numbered, Esau's father, Isaac, calls his favorite son to his bedside. "Son," he says, "the time has come for me to bless you." Blessings were a big deal then. And yes, blessings are still a big deal today. You know the rest of the story. Esau heads out to hunt for venison. Meanwhile, Rebekah and Jacob conspire to steal this blessing. Their hoax works. Blind Isaac blesses Jacob with words he intended for Esau. "I warned you, that Jacob, he's a grabber." When Esau learns what's happened, he wails. He lets loose, says Genesis, with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. He pleads with his father, "Bless me also." It's one of the most heart-wrenching scenes in all of Scripture. Realizing that he's been hoodwinked by his wife and his youngest son, Isaac trembles. "Your brother," he says, "has taken away your blessing." I remember first hearing this story in Sunday school, right? That's where we first hear this story. We tell these incredibly hard stories to our children. Mr. Anderman, my teacher in the fifth grade, had a marvelous gift for retelling the bread and butter stories of our faith, and then, not being a particularly pious man, for editorializing on all the ways that he thought the Bible's saints and apostles and disciples were abjectly stupid. When it came to Esau and Jacob and the case of the stolen blessing, Mr. Anderman grumbled, "This entire bedroom scene is ridiculous. I don't understand why Isaac doesn't just redo the blessing for Esau. Now, even if Isaac was taken in by this ruse, surely God wasn't fooled, so why not a redo? Isaac acts like blessings are in short supply. That's crazy. There's nothing cheaper than a blessing." And there, of course, is the rub. Mr. Anderman was theologically correct. Blessings shouldn't be in short supply. And Genesis was anthropologically correct. Human beings can become remarkably tight-fisted when it comes to passing out blessings. How does this happen? What's wrong with Isaac? Why is he so parsimonious with his good words? Is this how he thinks God works? Is God stingy when it comes to passing out visions of hope and encouragement? Not according to the good book. Not according to the stories that we've been reading this fall. God consistently holds out hopeful futures for every member of this family. For Sarah and for Hagar. For Isaac and for Ishmael. God is generous. Isaac, not so much. He isn't confident that he's got a blessing left for Esau. Why? To understand why Isaac hesitates, let's take a close look at the blessing that he does bestow on the son wearing the false mustache. It starts out in grand terms. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Now that's a good word. A parent could theoretically douse every single one of their children with a blessing like that. Plenty of grain and wine. But soon Isaac's words turn to a different sort of hope. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Isaac's blessing asks God to grant his son power over neighboring tribes and power over the rest of his family. Isaac promises, "You will sit on the iron throne." And that is a rare blessing, a solitary blessing. Only one son can achieve such dominance. This is the blessing Rebekah and Jacob connive to attain. And for all of these reasons, this is the blessing that proves to be toxic. Look at Genesis. Whenever a one-sided, zero-sum pronouncement like this is bestowed on one member of the family and not another, it tears the family apart. A blessing like this is basically an invitation to jealous scheming and murderous anger. In other words, this wasn't a blessing at all. It was a curse. And all of this, I think, is dawning on Isaac. He remembers. Years ago, Isaac was on the receiving end of good words like this, and his half-brother Ishmael was not, and that blessing brought about tremendous heartache, and it's about to do it again. The reading was long enough, but if you read on a little bit further, Genesis tells us that Esau leaves the bedroom that day intending to murder his brother. We'll return to Esau in a couple of weeks. Today, though, I want us to stay zeroed in on Isaac. I think the injustice and inequity baked into the system of birthright, this patriarchal system, is starting to dawn on him. I think the painful clashes that keep happening in Isaac's family, generation after generation, are starting to make him think. Now, I don't want to be overly rosy or revisionist here. I don't think Isaac's ready to pen a modern treatise on inheritance law and to recognize all children, regardless of gender or birth order, as worthy of equal legacy. But I do think Isaac is changing. A few verses after our passage for today, Isaac actually does find the strength. He finds the words to bless Esau. He promises his eldest boy that one day you will break free from your brother's control. You will escape his orbit. Now that might seem like a small thing, but is it? If you think about the things that control us, the things that control you. It might be a brother. It might be anger. It might be fear. It might be prejudice. It might be a bad relationship or bad habits. If you think about the things that shackle you, the things that tie you up in hellish knots, there's nothing more powerful than to have someone say, I can tell just by looking at you that you will persevere. I am confident that you will, by the grace of God, break free. In the end, you see, Isaac does give Esau a gift, a good gift. He digs down deep and finds not another set of words that will fester and cause harm, not a slow burning curse, but a real, honest, hopeful, your life will change blessing. 2 days ago, in Pittsburgh, an African-American pastor dressed in a dark suit and clerical collar threw his arms around a conservative rabbi wearing a black overcoat and matching fedora. The two men had never met before, but they'd been bound together in grief. The pastor was the Reverend Eric Manning, who leads Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 parishioners were gunned down at a Bible study in 2015. The rabbi was Jeffrey Myers of the Tree of Life Congregation in Pittsburgh's Squirrel Hill neighborhood, where 11 worshipers were killed 8 days ago today. A reporter asked Reverend Manning about what he told his congregation last Sunday in Charleston as they watched hatred and horror descend on yet another worshiping community. "I preached," said Reverend Manning, "on a text from Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. I told my people that the words that come out of your mouth can do much harm and much good." This week, my friends, as we go about our lives, as we cast our votes, as we interact with our neighbors, as we make our way through the world, may Isaac's efforts, may Reverend Manning and Rabbi Meyer's example be our guide. Let us learn to dig down deep and to sketch non-toxic visions of hope for each other. Let us endeavor together to bless the world. And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Hallelujah. Go from this place determined to be, to speak, to seek blessing, trusting in the love of God, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and clinging to one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and provided a message of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you are in New York City, we invite you to visit our historic church and join us for worship. You will find our address, worship calendar, and other information on our website, fapc.org. If you would like to help support this audio ministry, please text the dollar amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Again, that is the amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons to 646-491-8331. Thank you and God bless.